Well, tonight, Lord willing, we're going to get into the sixth chapter of Revelation. And again, so appropriate and so timely with just the things that are going on in this world today. But before we start in the sixth chapter, Lord's encouraged me to kind of go back, do a little bit of a revamp of what we've went through and what He's brought us to. And maybe get into a little bit about some of the signs of the times. Now, in the first, really two chapters of this wonderful message, and actually the first three chapters of Revelation, and again, this being the revelation of Jesus Christ, we realize that John was given a vision, and he is looking through the church age. He is looking through the age of the churches right now. As the Lord has so encouraged us in this study, we all sit. Each one of us sit in one of those churches this evening. No matter what you think, no matter who you are, you sit in one of those churches. I would pray by the grace of God that we're being encouraged. I don't think we wouldn't be here tonight if we weren't having a vision maybe of Smyrna. By the grace of God, how about Philadelphia as well too? I really hope to live to the coming of the Lord. That was one thing that was so exciting about Brother Hill, and something that I think is, if you knew him well, if you understood the message that God gave to him, the coming of the Lord was so real to his life. And even on his bed that he was going to be with the Lord, you knew that he was still looking for the Lord to come, to go the way of the highway, as opposed to the subway. Not that one was better than the other, but he so looked and loved and longed for the appearing of the Lord in that day. And that's key. That is absolutely key. People ask about, well, how do I get in the bride of Christ? How am I going to be in the bride of Christ? Love his appearing. Love him. That's exactly what Brother Paul told us. He said, to them that love his appearing also will he give that wonderful crown, not just to me, but to them also. I appreciated a brother encouraging me in the things of this study this week, and he was encouraging another brother about that as well too. And he said, does that mean I'm going to have what Paul had? Well, that, you know, we're not going to go there, but one star differeth from another in glory. I just want to see him in the air. By the grace of God, I hope to have a sun glory myself. There's a glory of the moon, a glory of the stars, and there's a glory of the sun. And by the grace of God, I do want, and I believe there's many here tonight that want to shine as brightly as possible. And I'll tell you, you let him do it, and it'll amaze you what'll happen. But, so we got through those first three chapters. And there was John. And he was looking through the church age. And then it said that he was taken up again, and he was shown a different vision. And it said, and he turns. And now, as he's turning towards the Lord, and he's looking now over and into the tribulation that's going to come, the millennium that's going to come. And this is that second vision. And the beautiful thing about this, and I think how perfect God is with this, is that in that fourth chapter, when he gets that different vision, where he says, and this I looked, and behold, a door was open. This is when heaven is going to be open. Heaven is going to be open to rapture the bride. And that is going to be the first and wonderful company, along with those 24 elders, by the grace of God, the overcomers in the Old Testament, that will be in heaven, that will be taken into heaven, in a sense, at that time when the tribulation begins. That is the time of the start of these events. Now, I want to go back and talk about a little bit about the signs of this time, some of the things that are going on in this world today. And if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now again, this is the signs of man that we're going to talk about, and the things that are going on with man. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I was watching a show again that we're having less and less births in this country today. You know what they attribute it to? People want more time for themselves. I thought that was very interesting. They're concerned about the birth rate in the United States today for the first time. Kind of interesting, isn't it? And they said it was because people are more concerned in putting off children. I'm not saying that in a sense it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing to wait when you're married, get to know each other a little bit before maybe we have kids. I think there's wisdom in that. But some of these people are waiting until they're 40. I'm 41. I'm done. Never mind that. All right. I better not tell the Lord I'm done. He gave somebody a child at 100. Okay. Don't tempt him. All right. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. And I think about, again, the disobedience to parents. It's so refreshing when you see a child that's respectful anymore, isn't it? Wasn't there a day when everybody said, oh, hi, Mr. So-and-so, and, you know, now they call you Tom and Jeff and hey, you and dude, and it's like, what is up with that? We're in it. We're in it. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Just think of the things that it's a popular thing to act out and to berate good things. Think about our society today. It's popular and it's trendy to be rude, to be obnoxious, to have ugliness in things. And look at what kids today and adults as well too are doing to themselves, whether it's on the outside and more importantly, what's on the inside. And that's how the devil always works, isn't he? He always works on the outside in. And he just continues to do that, whereas God truly works on the inside out. So it's here again. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And I think, again, we're in such a time where the mention of God is so out there. But what is your God? It's not Jesus. It's not at all. And you can't come to Him but with Jesus. But that's what we've come to. That's what this world is turned to, the politically correctness. Everything's acceptable. Anything goes. There's many ways. There's many paths. I was talking to one of the men today, and we were kind of discussing that. And I said, you know, there's many things out there. There's many talks. There's many paths. There's many of that people are preaching out there. But everything points to Jesus. And it does. Whether it's creation, whether, you know, you can see the Trinity even in His snowflakes. You can see it, the three, the things that bring it together. He is revealing Himself in nature. But yet we deny Him. We do. It's mankind. And they're, again, having this form of godliness, but denying the very power. They're denying the Jesus. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning. Ever learning. Think about all the new religions that come to pass anymore. All these new beliefs. I was telling you about something that's been around a while, but now it's starting to catch some steam. These preterists is what they're called. They believe or saying that Christ already came and set up His kingdom in A.D. 70. Well, if this is Christ's kingdom and we're living in His perfect world, I sure missed it. And I don't want any part of this. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how people get so nuts? And it's really just an excuse for them to live that they want to live. Think about it. It's the truth. Well, I can just live my life the way it is. This is God's kingdom. This is what He set up. So it's kind of a free-for-all. They do what's ever right in their own eyes. That's where we're at. There's one way. And narrow's that way, isn't it? And it is. There's a sacrifice to going on with God. There's a suffering. It's not a popular thing. But I'm going to tell you, it's a peace and a satisfaction. It's just like I was telling this man. At the end, if it weren't true, I wouldn't want to change my life a bit. I have hope. I have a song in my heart. I have praise on my lips. Oh my. God has given me such joy and peace and love that I can share with people. It's a wonderful, if you want to use the word feeling, I guess that's what some people have to use. But it's a life of faith. I believe in it. And more importantly, I know it's true. I have no doubt. But even if it weren't, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't change my life. I really wouldn't. I'm happy and happy as can be because I have Jesus. I have Jesus. All right. So there's the signs of man. And I don't want to get off on too many tangents here tonight. But let's go to the signs of earth. Let's turn over to Matthew 24. And think about these things. This is what should make you as well excited and maybe getting a little bit more interested into this these signs of the time. And again, I appreciate the Word of God. We notice these things, but where is our vision? See, there's so many Christians that'll have their vision on the things that are going on. Oh, look at that. And they have the special prophecy class and the special this class and that. It says, look up. Look up. Amen. That's where we want to be looking. It's wonderful to see these things come to pass, but it says to look up. Okay, Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. Actually, let's go back to the third verse. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, Tell us, Jesus, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. First of all, believe the truth. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. I think we're in a time like that today. More wars now than there's ever been. See that ye be not troubled. Now, how many people are troubled about the events that are going on over there in the Middle East right now? Does it trouble you? I hope it doesn't trouble you. Christ himself is telling you, don't be troubled by that kind of stuff. It's time to get excited. It's time to look up. It's near. This is really coming to pass. Everything that this wonderful word has said is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Okay, turn over to Luke 21. And in Luke 21, I kind of already had mentioned it as well too, and we'll just briefly just rejoice in it together. And I might have the wrong chapter there for you, brothers and sisters. But it says, when you see these things come to pass, it says to look up, for the redemption draweth nigh. It's not 21, I know that. What is that? It is 21? 21:8? 28. 21:28. No? Well, you know, if I wouldn't look in the book of John, it would help. But see, I'm turning with you, and somebody said they appreciated that because I didn't get there fast enough, and now their opinion's going to change. You know, you can never keep them all happy, can you now? All right, it is Luke 21. See, I knew it wasn't in John 21. All right, you weren't losing me there, maybe my mind. But that's when you can get Christ's mind in you. I had a sister and I were talking about that. All right, let's go to verse 25 of chapter 21. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Look what we have today. Everybody's fearful of everything. See, perfect love casts out all fear. Know that you have that. It's there. Just take hold of it by the grace of God. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, see, they're beginning. These are the things that are beginning to come to pass. Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. So again, we see that this looking is so important. It's so wonderful. It's so necessary. Again, and so simple. So simple. Really, there's simplicity in the gospel. To being ready for Christ's coming. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. I'm going to look at some scripture here this evening before we get back into our text. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Now, that's a wonderful and a marvelous verse. We talked about it when we studied Hebrews. Okay, Christ is going to appear the second time. And he's going to appear again after that. But I want to be ready for the second time of his appearing. 1 Thessalonians talks about it there. When we, by his grace, can meet the Lord in the air. It's a wonderful place to meet the Lord. That's a bridal company that's going to meet him in the air there. But you'll see, the point here is you need to be looking for Jesus. We go back and we think about the church of Ephesus that we read about, very first church. All those wonderful attributes, all those wonderful things about him. But what did he say to him? He said, I have one thing against you, just one thing. You left your first love. When you leave the first love, brothers and sisters, you're not looking for his appearing. Something else has caught your eye is what it's saying there, isn't it? I'm interested in something else. Well, my job and making all this money is more important to me now. And I've heard this before. I almost at a point in my life tried to reason myself with the Lord that way when I was in the business world. Well, Lord, I've got these things coming on here and I've got to take care of this. No, you don't have to take care of that. God takes care of it. He really does. He wants to be first and foremost. And I'm going to tell you in a moment, we're going to read, it's the hour that you think not that he's coming. Amen. I don't want an hour when I'm thinking not that he's coming. I want to be ready for him. I want to see that thief in the night. You know, it's kind of like your kids. When you put them away, I shouldn't say put them away. You put them away. There you go. I'll tell you, you don't know what you're going to get tonight. But when you put them down to sleep on Christmas Eve, they're watching for Santa, aren't they? And as they get older, they just keep watching for him. I just haven't found him yet, have I, huh? All right. Praise God. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Isn't it wonderful that we can rejoice in this word? You know, I'm not somebody who likes to see movies twice. I don't know about you. You know, some people like to see them 100 times. Read a book 2 times or whatever. I never get tired of the Word of God. Isn't it something? I just so love to read. I mean, this is, I guess, it becomes real to us sometimes, and this is our inheritance. I'm looking for this to happen. This is for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. See, I love how Paul starts putting it down. See, those disciples, they weren't real educated in a sense in the things of God, were they? They were asking lots of different questions. They loved the Lord. And they said, when are you coming back? How do we know it's going to be? When is it going to be this way? Paul is going to get right to the chase. I'm going to tell you something. There's no need for me to tell you guys. Because you know what? It's going to come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Where's your Christianity today? Do you have a vision? See, without a vision, people perish. Okay? I don't want my vision to perish one bit from the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to have it by the grace of God. I want to have those eyes that are looking for that coming. The eyes full of love that are completely, completely affixed on my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Kind of quoted a little bit of this. It's hard not to. You get too excited and you jump ahead. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This is Paul again speaking to his sweet brother Timothy, speaking to us by the grace of God. And this is about the time of Paul's departure. He knows that it's at hand and he's going to go be with the Lord. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. It gets pretty simple, doesn't it? I praise God for this. There isn't some test, there isn't some magical formula, there isn't all the do's and the things that how religion tries to approach God with me. I've got to cease from my own works to get in the perfect rest of God. And when I can get into that, man, I can inherit this stuff. But He's coming. Hallelujah, He's coming. Now let's finish this thought up in 2 Thessalonians. chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled. You see how many times He tells you that? Don't flip out about things that are going on right now. It's exciting times. Our time's about to happen. My time's about to start. Praise God. By His grace, I'm looking forward to having Him let them know that He's loved me. Remember about them bowing down? A lot of benefit to going with God. I just want to be with Him, though. There's wonderful benefit with it. But it's the love that's going to get you there. It's loving His appearing. It's loving Him. And I'm telling you, I really believe when we get into that kind of love, doesn't He appear to you all the time in a sense? You know what I'm saying? He's just there. He's there. Someday my faith is going to be made whole, though, because I'm going to see Him as He is. Praise God. But again, not by word nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. He was even preaching that the day of the Lord was then. You're just expecting Him. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Oh, and there's a falling away going on. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of hell, Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now litteth will lit until he be taken out of the way. I want to read another version of that verse right there. That's verse 7. It says, for the secret power of lawlessness, or Satan, of hell, is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. Now, brothers and sisters, we have come through this wonderful Word of God, this Revelation study. We saw in chapter 4, we saw the 24 elders arrive into heaven. We've seen the four living ones arrive into heaven. But we have not seen yet in that wonderful Word the breaking out yet of the tribulation time, the 7-year period. Chapter 6 tonight is going to begin with that. This is it. This verse 7 has to occur before that's going to happen. Do you realize again tonight that one of the greatest things that is holding back this event from breaking loose is the bride of Christ? She has to be taken out of the way. She's hindering this thing from happening until she is taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now let's go on back to Revelation chapter 6. And Lord willing, we'll try to get through some of these verses tonight. We'll read through the 8th verse. So chapter 6, the 8th verse. Before I go on with this chapter 6, I want you to understand, it's talking about the seals here. There's going to be a total of these 7 seals that are unveiled here. But in this chapter, we're going to see 6 of these seals. This is truly an index, basically, of the whole entire tribulation. The first 4 seals go through the whole tribulation. The second, the fifth seal, I should say, begins underneath the second seal. And the 6th seal starts right at the end of the 4th seal. So the first 4 seals, or these envelopes that are being unleashed upon the world at this time, truly is throughout, takes place throughout the whole 7-year tribulation. All right. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And we'll stop there and try to get through these eight verses this evening. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. One of the wonderful things to note in these first four seals is that you'll see that the Lord is opening these seals, but the ones that are directing this event, the ones that are giving out this event, the ones that are telling John to come and see this event, are the four living creatures, the beasts. Again, the four living ones, which represent the very bride of Christ, that are in the center and in the midst of the throne. You'll see this separation again from the 24 elders. I know there's some that'll try to bring those two companies together. I believe that's not seeing the completeness of what God wants here. I always remember what Brother Hill said, and I do appreciate, about these wonderful, wonderful trusses in this church. He said when they were building this church, and I think Ray will remember him saying this many a time, he said, and you'll see if you go walk by these, there's these little shims in these things. They're about that big. They're that thick. They're little shims that they put underneath some of these beams. And I remember Brother Hill going to the man, and he said, he'd ask him, he said, well, why are you putting these little things in there? Why don't you just set that thing down there and all that, and just they'll just line right up and, you know, just be fine. He says, oh, no. He said, yeah, Pastor Hill, you know what happens? If we don't put those little shims in there, if we're off this much down here, we could be off as much as about 2 or 3 feet when we get up there. That's the way it is with the Word of God. It's line upon line. It's verse upon verse. The precept upon precept. And by the grace of God, these things mean something. And there's a perfect pattern to be worked in this work. There's a perfect pattern that needs to be worked in my life. It's just like stitching. I'd always watch Mom, you know, as she loves to do the quilts, and she would do that embroidery. You talk about getting off on one stitch that went all the way through that work. I'm going to tell you something. Everything from there on out, it went haywire. And it did. She'd catch it quick, but when I'd help her, it'd be a mess anyways. But I'm going to tell you, that's how things would be. But we need to know, by the grace of God, this wonderful word. And these four beasts saying, come and see, it's truly that word in the Greek is come and perform. This is a performance. They're actually unleashing this out onto this. Go over to Revelation chapter 15, verse 7 with me. You'll see a little bit more about this. This is talking about the vials that are going to be unleashed. This is the very wrath of God that's coming out during the great tribulation time. Look at chapter 15, verse 7. It says, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. This is the very judgment of God that's being dealt out. It is. Who's giving it? The four living ones. Does this bring it back to you that you can be an heir of God and that you can be a joint heir, if so be that you'll suffer together with Him? Does it kind of coming together a little bit in our hearts and minds and hopefully quickening us to the things that God has prepared for them that love Him? It's beyond our imagination. I can't imagine. You're going to take little old me, nothing, and bumbling, stumbling, and you're going to let me by grace, if I'll believe you and I'm looking and loving your appearing, to be ruling and reigning with you. To actually, I was thinking about this, and I hope this comes out right, but I was thinking, you know, like when you have a big home or you have a big kingdom, you know, there's that king, and, you know, he's always so busy, and he's but whenever you want to come over and see the palace, you know, who shows you around? You know, the queen's going to show you around and kind of show all this out. And it was just speaking to me how, you know, God, in His wonderful way, there's going to be the king, and he's going to have a queen. And she's going to own up to half that kingdom with him. That's for you. That's for me. By the grace of God, that's what He is inviting us into. And I, again, just sat in awe. And if you ever want to meditate on something beautiful for your life, if you're a little bit low, know what He's opening up to you. Know what He has called us into. Praise God. But here we go. It says, "And one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Well, this first horse here, you'll see this white horse speaks of strength, it speaks of peace, it speaks of safety, it speaks of the kind of the Prince Valiant. Here he comes, he's on the scene. We needed somebody to bring in peace and safety. I think we're in a world like that right now. I'm excited because there's events that are taking place. This world is so out of kilter right now that we are looking for someone who's got an answer. Huh? Nobody's got an answer right now. But there's going to be a form of an answer that comes forth. There's going to become a man that comes forth that's going to come on this white horse. And you'll notice here that he has a bow. Oh, so it shows this strength that he has. And he's got a crown on him. He's got authority. But you'll notice he has no arrows. He's just showing that he's full of peace. He's full of safety. Huh? And you know what? The Word of God, we read it already. It says when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction. It's going to unravel very quickly. If you go over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. We were just there, but let's go back and read that. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I can hear the cries of peace. I just don't hear the cries of safety yet. They're crying peace over there right now. Let's have a ceasefire. Let's have a this. Let's have a sit down. I don't know. Speculating, I think things need to get a little worse. I think things need to break out just a little bit more over there and get to the point of, boy, it just looks so beyond any type of repair. And then that man's going to step out and there's going to be an answer. But it's going to be a false peace. But people don't understand that. They think it's just going to rip roar over there and boom, it's done. Uh-uh. Know your word. There's going to be a cry of peace and safety. And there's going to be one that comes forth to conquer. Let's turn over to Revelation 13. The wonderful thing about the book of Revelation as well, too, and a lot of people sometimes get frustrated, you have to understand that the Lord will... in this book, he'll leap forward, he'll leap back, he'll give you something to think of. At this point, he'll go back into the tribulation, he'll go forward in the tribulation. So let's read chapter 13 here for a bit. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And we're going to read about that beast here in a moment. "And upon his horns he had 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." That's against Christ. And this beast that comes up, you'll see that these 10 horns are these are 10 kings. And the 7 heads represent the 7 nations. And the blasphemy is obviously against Christ. "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion." This is a very vicious creature here. "And the dragon," which speaks of Satan, "is the one that gives him power, and gives him his seat, and gives him his great authority." This is a scary person. This is the epitome of demon-possessed. This is devil-possessed. This is the one within. This is what God, again, is allowing this. This isn't something to get fearful of. I know our movies and Hollywood gets it to be really scary for people. Well, if you didn't know God, it should be scary to you. But if you know the Lord, this is something that's just coming to pass and there's a reason for it. "And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death." One of those heads, one of those kings is going to die. And they're going to come back. And this is going to be the Antichrist. And the Satan is going to give the power for that creation to rise up again. Okay? "And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." And I'm going to tell you, if you didn't know the Lord, you'd wonder after that beast. You would. Somebody die and come back to life, get your attention. Don't deny it. It would. Thank God we won't be here at this time if we're looking and loving His appearing. Come on now. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto this beast? Who is able to make war with him? See all the peace and the safety and all that they're given to him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell therein. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is going to be a powerful person. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we're going to read about these ones that are still on the earth with him when he comes to pass, okay? We may get a sign or a thinking or a shadow before the Lord. Again, God willing, we're in the bride before we're out of here. But we may not exactly know. And I really don't care. A lot of people, that obsesses them as Christians. Oh, I want to know who the Antichrist is. I don't care who the Antichrist is. I really don't. I know who Christ is. That's all I want to know. See, I want to be with Him. See, that's the thing. We can get preoccupied into these things. These are just signs and types. It's a wonderful thing. Get occupied with Jesus. Don't let anything else be your idol. You can get off into things so quickly, into tangents. Be looking for His coming. All right. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Isn't that precious how God brings that back, just like in all of those churches? I appreciate the Lord again. Reminding us to listen to Him. So, He went forth and it was given unto Him, and He went forth conquering and to conquer. So here we have this peace and safety. This first horse, this white horse, is on the scene, and He's come to save the day. Huh? You get it? This is where we're at. If you don't think we're in a time like this, you're crazy. I think we're here by the grace of God. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Again, we see there, it's the performance, that wonderful beast, the living ones that are giving out the word of God here and delving out what's to come. And there went out another horse that was red. This speaks of the war. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, we just read about that beast that you saw come out of the sea with the 7 heads and the 10 crowns. You just saw that it was given to him that he could make war with the saints. That was the power that was given to him. So you see that short-lived, that false peace, that false safety is taken immediately. So now we're here continuing into the tribulation. We haven't gotten necessarily to the great tribulation, but it's coming. It's coming. This is when it starts to unfold, all of this this madness that's coming upon the earth. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 17. And again, this will refer back to this time that we're talking about. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou saw was and is not. That means he died and he came back to life. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. The whole world is going to wonder after this beast. They're going to believe that this is the Christ. I hope we believe that. You know, after World War I, they said, oh, man will never do that again. How many years later was it? 20? Same country was after it. Didn't learn, did they? Oh, we'll never do that again. There'll never be anybody as bad as Hitler. Well, they had a Stalin. They had a Pol Pot. What do you think Saddam Hussein is and was? Oh, the Jews will never be persecuted like they were in those concentration camps. Don't fool yourself. I've heard people say that are very sweet Christians, man is just too smart now. We're beyond that. That's not going to come to pass. War is in the very heart of man. It's in my heart. It's in yours too. I'll push you far enough, brother, you'll poke me in the nose. I know it. It's just there. Now, apart from God, where do you think you are? Know what's going on here. This is This is good stuff. I love it. I love to see these people running around thinking that they're smarter than God. That's exactly what it said that they would be, didn't they? Vain in their own imagination. Puffed up, haughty, high-minded. Isn't that what we just read? The end times? Lovers of themselves more than lovers of God? Oh, we're here. Oh, hallelujah. All right, and there went out that other horse that was red. Power was given to him to take that peace from the earth, and it was given to him a great sword. So again, going back over here to chapter 17, verse 8, I want you to think about that great sword. Chapter 17, verse 8, now verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. This is the great whore that we'll read about coming forward as well too. I believe that's a very clear picture of Rome at this time. It's set on the seven hills. I believe that you'll see that she's clothed in scarlet and red and drinking that cup. A lot of people will just scoff at you when you say these things, but I think it's set up pretty well over there what that is, and we'll read about her. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even is the eighth, and is the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou saw are the ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind. This is the world uniting. Now, is this and could this be? A lot of people try to speculate. Oh, this is the European Union. Huh? Might be. I don't know. Don't really care. You can get, again, caught up into that kind of thing. Oh, is Russia the bear? Is it Iraq? Oh, they all are. Huh? China going to be in it? Oh, sure. I think they're a good old goat nation, you know. I want to be a sheep nation. I want the United States to be a sheep nation. I really do. I think they're going to be. I think they're protecting Israel. I think they're leading in the forefront. And why is that? Is it just a coincidence? No, it's because this is still a nation that was founded under God. I really do believe it. I'm hopeful that there will continue to be some type of resurgence, some type of allegiance or a softening towards the things of God. I think there might be in some respect that we continue to stay a sheep nation there. I hope so. But there's also this continuing falling away of God. I understand that. There's no worldwide revival going on. Don't think I'm preaching that. But I love this country. I do. I appreciate the people that have given so much for it, that are continuing to fight this evening for you and for me to sit here and to be able to come to a Bible study and not be in a bomb shelter this evening and all of those different things. We need to wake up and be appreciative where God's put us. I look at those Jews over there and I look at those little kids, it makes me cry. See little children like this, and what they're doing is they're laying in a bomb shelter and they may lay there for weeks. Oh, this is just our life. That's all they know. That's not living. But see, that's what sin does. God has freed us from sin. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that God has put on our heart to pray for Israel. If there's ever a time to pray for Israel, we need to pray for them right now. That God would revive any of them that would want to come unto Him now. But to continue to pray for Israel, that God would, just wrap this thing up on His time. Praise the Lord. But these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. And He said unto me, the waters which thou saw where the whore sitteth are the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And see, I just think of, they were kind of like the rats holding hands until they looked at each other and they saw that each one was a rat and they started fighting each other. They were all in alliance. Read this next verse. Really pay attention to this. Because this is so true. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. Do you get it? Even those that hate Him, that despise Him, that mock Him, they're doing exactly what His will is going to be that way. You understand that? You can't get away from it. You can't. Whether you are Christian, whether you are an unbeliever, infidel. God's will is going forward. I want to be part of His will in the things of forever. But it's, they will put into their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. Look at that. They can't help but do it. Until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Again, speaking of that Babylon. All right. I think we'll probably just end that there this evening. I would have liked to have gotten a little bit farther, but I don't want to make you weary. But Lord willing, next week we'll get into the famine that is a result of the war. And then we'll get into the final seal of the fourth seal, which will again be that index of the tribulation there, where we see that this is the pale horse that comes and death and hell follows. And then we're going to have that great war of Armageddon. There's so many things that we'll cross-reference in this. But again, I hope this is exciting to you. This is your heritage. By the grace of God, this is your title deed. This is part of it. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I kind of like to think of it as, this is the revelation of my bridegroom. I really want to know who, by the grace of God, I've got a chance to marry. I hope you do. I think you do. We wouldn't be here tonight if not. But what a wonder that God can bring these things to pass, that God, in His infinite grace, can have us in this time. What an exciting time. Again, brothers and sisters, don't be fearful. Don't. Men are just that way. They're getting worse. They're going to be liars. They're going to be more cheaters. There's going to be all of these different things. But don't put your confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. Just don't. Put your confidence in God. If He be for you, who can be against you? Do you realize that man, he can't do anything to me that God doesn't allow? I'm just telling you, know that for yourself. Know who protects you. Do you truly believe that you're the apple of His eye this evening? Amen. I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope you know that. He said, I'm not going to withhold anything good from you. Whether it's something in your body. Whether it's something that's not in your bank account. Believe Him. Just learn to believe Him. He's good. He's so good, isn't He? We're going to see Him as He is. Praise His name. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You again for this time. We thank You for words of life. We appreciate, Lord God, that You have taken us from death to life. And You want us to have life more abundantly. Abundant life comes one way, I truly believe, and that's to look for Your wondrous appearing, to fall in love with You, to know You for what You want to be to us, Jesus. All the goodness, all the spiritual blessings that have already been given to us, that we've already been blessed with, help us to realize them. Enlighten us, Lord God, to see again Your wondrous beauty that's all in Your wonderful Son. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.